sermon of a series that we started a little while back. Think about these things. And I know it's strange to start with the sermon, but Lord willing, we're about done with this, right? Okay. Not church, not the gathering. But specifically, we're done with this kind of crazy order of stuff. I'm hoping we can start with worship and get back into routine here very soon. So thank you for worshiping with us. Again, if you are visiting with us, welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. And pray that this morning will be a blessing as we fellowship with one another. And as I've asked in the past, please make sure that as you fellowship afterwards, go outside. It's gorgeous. You know, enjoy the fresh air. And that'll be kind of our approach to fellowship towards the end of the gathering. That'd be awesome. So if you want to grab your Bibles, turn them to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking verses 4 through 9 once again. And we're going to be wrapping this up with this last section out of this passage, specifically talking about if there's anything worthy of praise. And so that's going to be our main focus this morning. But before we get there, I want to go through for the last time, as most of us should have most of this memorized out of Philippians chapter 4, and kind of look once more at what Paul is telling the church in Philippi of how to adjust their life in such a way that gets rid of anxiety, amen, that gives peace, that gets rid of all the things in our lives, that keeps our eyes off of Jesus, and we bring our eyes back to the focal point of who God is. And that we remind ourselves that I have to think of different things than what everything else is coming at me to distract me and keep me off of the vision of Jesus. I've got to keep focused. I've got to understand that. Well, I don't know about you, but once again, this week has brought a lot of ups and downs. It's brought a lot of confusion. It's brought a lot of opportunity to talk and communicate the truth as well. Because whenever there's darkness, light can expose things. And so we're to be children of the what? Of the light. And our job as believers, as followers of Jesus, is to bring that light into the world and to expose the things that are happening. But the first thing we have to do is check our heart. Check our heart. Like, I don't know about you, but it's like, I got to check my heart often. Like, before Jordan got here, staff meetings were me by myself walking around this room having a conversation with God. Now it's Jordan and I get to walk around this room and have a conversation with God. I mean, it's talking about the things that God desires to do in our hearts and in our lives to adjust the way I focus, to adjust the things that I kind of zoom in on and micro, like give this micro attention to. And right now, we are being bombarded with information, bombarded with things to create division, bombarded with just a lot of different preconceived ideas. And so what we want to do is focus today. I mean, this is like restart for the week. This is our chance to get our heads on right, okay? Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Man, I need to hear that. Rejoice. Thrive is what the Greek word means. Thrive in the Lord. Make sure that everything we do has that as Jesus as the center. And when Jesus is the center, the mind changes. We renew our minds in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. In Jesus, always, he says, again, I will say, thrive. Rejoice. Have your joy within you from what Jesus gives. Let your reasonableness be known to whom? Everyone. Everyone. So watch what you're posting. Watch what you're saying. Watch your interactions. Check yourself and check your heart before something comes out to make sure that when people read it, they're going to be like, that's reasonable. Like, this is honorable, right? So we're going to get to this list in just a moment. Now listen, the gospel to those who do not believe is foolishness. It's foolishness. So to be reasonable to some extent means that also when I'm presenting the gospel, when I'm living the gospel, he loves my voice. I love you, buddy. I love you. Sorry. Grandpa mode went in. So as we're going through life, we have to bring the gospel in the midst of other people in such a way that's reasonable, though, which means we have to woo them to Christ, right? Jesus wooed people to himself. He brought them to him based upon how he loved what? Sinners. How he loved people. And so right now we have this general attitude of, well, I won't even say it. It's not good. It's a general attitude of basically, I'm right, they're wrong, they're idiots, I've got it all together. Like, listen, take the what? Log out of your own eye. We have to be cautious and think about what we're going through and make sure we don't have a log in our eye. Now, I'm not going to get preachy on you on that just yet, okay? That was last week. So let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is what? At hand, which means what? Near. The Lord is near. He's near to you. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Do you see these radical words that Paul is using? He's using radical terminology. Like when I'm counseling people, I say you cannot say always. You cannot say never. He never does this. That's probably a lie, right? She always does that. That's probably a lie. So we get rid of those words when we're counseling and talking with people about how we interact with one another. But here he's saying those words. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always, right? That's an extreme word. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. I mean, these are like extremes. But he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, where? In Christ Jesus. You see, when our minds are going crazy, when we can't think of the things that are going on in a clear mind, has anybody here been confused in the last 2.5 months? Okay, right? I mean, information overload. Remember back in the good old day when you had to wait for the newspaper and then you could get all frustrated? Now I wake up and I'm already frustrated, right? So much information coming at us. And as this stuff's happening, as it's coming at us, we need to stop and renew our minds in whom? Christ Jesus. Because he is the author of peace. And so when I'm going off the rails, when my life is going off the rails, when my mind is like going everywhere, I have to reground myself in such a way that reminds me that Jesus is still on the throne. Like God is still on the throne. And his Holy Spirit still dwells within me. And so if I'm off the rails, it's not God's fault, it's mine. So I have to reground myself, recenter myself back in. And how do I do that? Paul says, here's how. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is what? True, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent. I mean, that's a lot of words to focus. What is that? What do those words do? They ground us. Because this is a picture of Jesus. And so if I'm going to think on these things, and we preached down through every single one of those words, and we're finally to the end of this thing, but as we think about what is just, we think about God's justice, right? He is a just God. As a matter of fact, he puts us on life to be those who bring justice in the midst of our world. Whatever is true, our job is to make sure that we're living in truth. Who's that? Jesus is truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so in order to live out truth and to think about truth, I think about Jesus and his interactions with people. I think about his interactions with the Father and how Jesus, the Son of God, had to ground himself in the presence of the Father as well. He needed time with his Father to center his life and his mind so that when he was able to go into the next morning, he would wake up in such a way that he had been reconnected with the Heavenly Father. Listen, church, we need to be doing the same rhythm in our lives as well. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I'm going to give you an opportunity here. This is not normal. If you're online, feel free to type this out as well. But what is God worthy of praise in your life right now? Just yell it out. Health, job, what? Salvation. All the above. You may not choose D. That does not work. What's that? Family? Joy, sunshine? Man, sunshine. We live in Ohio, right? Somebody? Peace? Hope? Love? Right? I mean, you get what I'm getting at? Like, right now, the world's using every opposite word, for the most part, for what you just shared, right? It's saying division, hate, any IST word that's negative. I mean, it's like, it's out there right now to pull us back away from what God said we'd remind ourselves of. Things that are worthy of praise. Anything worthy of praise. Anything. Like sometimes when I'm getting down, I need to remind myself of maybe 5 things that God has done that's been good even in the morning. He's giving me an opportunity to wake up. Praise God, right? I got a night's rest. Some of it great, some of it not. But praise God, right? I was able to close my eyes. I mean, I got a good cup of coffee. That's a praise God moment, okay? And so we ground ourselves in the simple things that God has gifted to us. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can call, that I can text, I can talk to. Praise God. I mean, he's been so generous to us, amen? so generous. So I think about these things, things that are worthy of praise, his salvation, his grace, his mercy, the joy that he gives me in spite of all the drama that's going on. I praise him for this. And he goes on, he says, think about these things. Think about these things. All that whole list, think about them. Then he goes on and says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I like this terminology that is used here, and before I get too far into the message, I want you to think about what's kind of gone on in our lives over the last couple, 2.5 months for many of us. Basically, our lives were peeled back, and we were told, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't go to the gym, you can't, right? All these things got peeled away from us. And in the midst of that, there's anxiety like went through the roof because that was our normal routine. And when our normal routine is disturbed, we have to kind of set back and go, now what do I do with all this stuff? And for 2.5 months, 3 months, we've been trying to figure out this stuff because honestly, that's part of our training. You've been trained to wake up and go to work, right? You've been trained to wake up and clean the house. You've been trained to wake up and watch the kids. You've been trained to invest in your life in certain ways. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I don't want to feel stupid because I don't do it. But if you go to the gym, and that's why I didn't want you to raise your hands, that was stripped away from you, right? And the whole point of going to the gym is to work out, right? Get rid of some energy, build some muscle, and stay fit. And that was taken away. But it's a practice to do. By the way, most gyms are busy when? New Year, right? Everybody makes a resolution. January, February, March, April, May, forget it after June normally, right? You're just paying your membership and they're loving the money and you're now coming. Let's be honest. But that's a practice and a training. And many of us do well and some of us don't do well at that. Like if I can't tell you how many memberships the YMCA I've donated money to. Like there's this thing, like if you don't get a rhythm of life that says, this is what I'm going to do, this is the practice, this is how things are going to go for me, we just slide out of it. And that was kind of the concern of gathering together. Like if we don't do it for 3 months, what's going to happen? Like you all got used to getting up and staying in your PJs, let's be honest, on Sunday mornings. By the way, feel free. Just make sure they're like, we are allowed to watch you in them, okay? Footy ones are fine. But we got in this, and so the concern was, okay, so we slip out of this routine, and now we just wake up, drink our coffee, and we're just like, which is awesome. I wish we could be more relaxed here sometimes, to be honest with you. But that routine got messed up. But now we're trying to relearn, repractice, get reengaged in our life. And here's what he's saying. Listen, your spiritual life is no different. Like as you step out of this stuff and you begin to engage in the crazy of the world and you forget the practice and discipline of walking in Jesus, we slide right back to anxiety, depression, mood-altering situations where we despise and we begin to doubt one another's motives. It's just what happens. And so we have to reengage our faith to remind us that God is a good God and I need to hear your voice. Say it. That's awesome. I didn't really mean it, but that's awesome, right? And it's true, but like to hear us sing at the end of this gathering is important. To hear the person next to me declare, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That's important to me. Because when we gather together and we're proclaiming God's praises and we're using these words, it reminds us together that God is good. Even all the time, amen. Even though I'm struggling, he's still good. And by the way, sharing one another's burdens gives glory to God as well. It gives glory to God as well. That's singing praises to share one another's burdens as well. So I just want to bring that to your attention because he says, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, practice these things. Practice them. And if you do that, if you practice this stuff, then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace will be with you, okay? Have you ever, you know, had that conversation with your kid about their messy room and they're complaining about the room being so messy and you're like, if you just did what? Cleaned it up, it would be clean. And they're like, I just want to complain. That's all I want to do, right? That's all I want to do. And so when he's getting to this point, he's reminding us of the fact that, listen, you can't complain about life and not engage in the things Jesus has called you to walk out. Remember, he says over and over again, come what? Follow me. Follow, which means what? Movement. Now, there's times when Jesus would sit and worship Father, but then he would say, now let's engage as well. There's this rhythm of life. Okay, so here's my first point, which don't be scared. I'm going to go, we'll make it, okay? Think about these things is to literally record them into the memory ledger. He's saying literally record God's goodness in your memory ledger. I don't know about you, but sometimes my brain needs to be defragged. Does anybody here know what the word defragged means? Okay, if you own a Mac, you're like, I don't have the problem, but if you own a PC, you do. Defrag is to take all the data that's on your computer that is all piled up, and the computer's trying to find all these files, and it's like, man, this is a mess. I need to reallocate everything and get it all cleaned up and put back in order. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Listen, what you fill your mind with is how you walk your life out. Input equals output. It just does. Like, that's just how life works. What you put in is what comes out. And so as we're talking about this, he's literally reminding us, think about these things and practice them. Put them in your mind so that you're able to walk these things out. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes somebody's had to explain to me over and over again how to do something, and it frustrated the individual because I'm ignorant about certain things. And that's how I am with God sometimes. It's like, listen, if you just have faith in me and walk this out, I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. He says, listen, practice these things. Train in them. What are some things you've ever had to train in before? Job? What's that? Driving? Praise the Lord, it's gotten even more in depth. Playing an instrument. Learning how to walk again. Yeah. Sports. So you see what I'm getting at? Like, we train and stuff all the time. Like, we practice things all the time. Most people just don't come natural with certain things. They have to put energy into them. Our spiritual journey is no different than that. Psalm 105, David says this. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. By the way, that is not for God's. That's for us. I mean, to hear God's wondrous works reminds me how good God actually is, and to share our testimony of his goodness reminds one another of how awesome God is. He says, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence. How often? Continually. You see, this is like rejoice in the Lord always, right? Again, I say rejoice. He's saying the same thing. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He's saying, listen, let's remind one another of God's goodness in our lives. Let's remind one another of his praises. And so when I say to one another, and we ask each other, how was your week? Listen, there should be praises as well as hardships. We're to bear one another's burdens and lift God's name up on high as well. And as we do that, we're lifting one another up to remind each other how good is, which changes our, renews our mind and our spirit so we're able to walk things out. The second thing I want to talk about is to practice these things is to do the things until they are a part of you. To practice these things are to do these things until they are part of you. How many of you guys know how to use a spoon to eat cereal? Ice cream? We'll go there. Whatever we have to do, okay? I mean, that didn't take long to learn, but you remember the first time it was rather messy, and it wasn't even your hand, right? And then eventually you're grabbing it like this, and you're able to jam the food in. It's still all over your face. Eventually you get a little more motor skills. It's an important thing to practice, right? I mean, to be fed isn't, but you didn't just learn to feed yourself overnight. It was a thing that you had to do over and over again, and somebody had to show you how to do it. And here's what Paul is telling us. When you're thinking about whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's righteous, listen, he's reminding us that we have to continue to press into this stuff daily. We have to continue to trust in the Lord a little bit more. We have to continue to find God's calling for my life a little bit more. Paul says this to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy 4, he reminds him that his job is to teach and train, equip the body so that they're able to walk out what God has equipped them to do. He says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. You see this, Timothy was mentored by Paul. Matter of fact, Timothy would call Paul his dad, his spiritual father. And in this journey, he's reminding him of, listen, I've showed you these things, I've trained you these things, now you need to walk these things out. And the words of faith and of good doctrine that you've followed have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for what? Godliness. You guys remember the series we did on spiritual disciplines? It was all about training, going to the spiritual gym to learn what it means to walk like Jesus. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every single way. as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive. Do you catch that? I mean, those words are not easy words. Listen, walking the Jesus way is not easy. Sometimes it's really difficult and tricky. And he says, listen, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set to believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. See, a lot of those words are what Paul reminded the church to think about as well. Until I come, devote yourselves to public readings of Scripture, which we did this morning already, to exhortation, which is encouragement, to teaching, which is happening now. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophesying, by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Man, to be Timothy in this moment, that's a heavy, heavy weight. It's a heavy weight. Listen, parents, no, we're not going to lie to each other. It is not easy. How many of you guys got the handbook and were able to do it all perfectly? Right? I mean, we've got the handbook, and I still struggle, you know? It's hard, and we grow as the kid grows, right? And that's the beauty of the whole thing. God gives us grace in that movement as we're all moving together. And the same thing is true with us as a body of believers. We're all growing as we pursue Jesus. We're all to be examples to one another of God's goodness, and we have to train and work in these things. And when we do so, I praise God, because in my deficiencies, you're able to shine. In your deficiencies, other people are able to shine. And so we carry one another in this. Third thing, when we consider and practice the Jesus way, then the peace of God accompanies us. When we consider and practice the Jesus way, then the peace of God is with us. So we think about, renew our minds, and then we walk it out. My grandboy is going to be a preacher just like me. He loves my voice. John 14, 25 through 31. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still what? With you, Jesus says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And he's talking to the disciples specifically. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, but I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Liz, their faith had to come after the resurrection. They didn't get it. He says, I will no longer talk much with you, but the ruler of this world is coming. He warned them. He warned us. He has no claim on me, Jesus says. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And these last words I have had to hear from over and over again this week. Like they have echoed in my ears. These next words, rise, let us go from here. Just think about those words in your life the last 3 months. Rise, let us go from here. Last 3 months, your life has been on pause, some of ours. We've been trying to navigate the total changes going on. It feels like we've just kind of been waiting, like in frustration. And then we observe other stuff out there, and it makes us even more angry and mad. And we forget about what Jesus promised his followers. He said, listen, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. I'm going to come back. Well, praise God for the trumpet sound someday. But in the meantime, rise. Let's go from here. Listen, church, as our life is in the midst of turmoil, as our nation's in the midst of turmoil, as our families and livelihoods, our communities, we have to remember that God, we center ourselves in the Lord. Remember these things. Like, I've got to remember those things. Which means to pull them back up of God's goodness. But here's the thing. After I get that, he says, rise. Let's go from here. I don't know what our call as OCC is. All I know is God has told us, commanded us to love him and love our neighbors. And our goal is not to wait too long, but to continue to engage in the process of what God is calling us to become. And so listen, when God says, rise, let's go from here, we don't wait. We follow Jesus into the next thing. I'm not sure what your let's go from here is and where it is, but I would ask you, like I asked last week, that we would be in prayer about the racial reconciliation. I purposely got connected with Herschel again, a friend of mine that I've known for years, played in the band together. We had done conferences together. I said, brother, we need to know as a white church, what are we doing with this? Like, what do we do? You tell us. Like, give us your perspective. Teach us. I did that on a purpose. I don't want to just sit back and watch everything go to pot and be like, oh, look at it all happen. But instead to say, how does the peace of God enter this situation? And our whole conversation, the entire point of it was this. Listen, we have a king. His name's Jesus. We serve a kingdom bigger than this kingdom ever will be. And the prince of this world, he's going to go to hell. He's going to go to hell. And in the meantime, God has left us here to show his love and to bring his message and to bring his truth in the midst of a dark world, which means we can't stay back. We have to rise and go from here. I read from Acts chapter 2 last week about Pentecost, and all. I just wanted to remind us of the fact, listen, the kingdom of God is not all white. Red and yellow, black and white, right? Yes, amen. Thank the Lord for those simple songs from kiddish times, right? The kingdom of God was established by a Jewish man. And so we have to break down those barriers in our minds and stop making Jesus in our image. Maybe if you don't get anything else out of this morning, instead of making Jesus into my image, looking the way I think he should look, acting the way I think he should act, being the political hero that I think he should be, instead we need to get back to this Jesus. The Jewish Jesus that found a Samaritan woman, connected with her outside of his circle, and told her about the kingdom that was coming. The Jesus that met the woman caught in adultery and said, go and sin no more. The Jesus that found a tax collector of all people, you know, and said, come and follow me, and showed him a way that was greater than anything that he could ever buy or steal or loot from anybody else. This Jesus sends the disciples out into all the what? World. Africa, Asia, Greece. You see what I'm getting at here? The Jesus that we need to pursue is not in any White House in America. My king is a savior of the world. And may he give me the peace that only he can give. May he be the one that we operate out of in the midst of this world to bring hope that only he can offer. May we center our lives in such a way that remind us of the fact that whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is noble, is not to be found within any nation, whether it's Republican or Democrat or black or white, but is to be found by the one who tears all that apart and says, come to me, all your heavy laden burden, and I will give you rest for your soul. I am not going to put my hope in man. May it only be in King Jesus. Because it's at his feet that every knee shall bow. And that every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So in the meantime, may we not lose sight of the fact that the breath that we have is a gift from God to be used for his glory and others' good. May we not forget the fact that he's left us here so that we are able to be his hands and his feet to those that are around us, whether high up or low down. May we not forget the fact that in order to live a praiseworthy life is to make sure that the one we're praising is the one who created and redeemed and is the restorer of all things. You see, church, we've got to keep our eyes on Christ in the midst of all this. Because it is so easy to be pulled off in the little things that pull us further from Christ and more into the flesh. And instead, listen, church, we've got to keep our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we praise his name with our lives. May we praise his name with our interactions. May we honor him with our lips and with our hands. May we be a people that brings the reconciliation of God's word and God's hope and salvation to this world. I don't care what color, what background, it doesn't matter. All that matters is when we come to Jesus, he tears down all that stuff. And may we kneel at his feet and no man of this world. So we're put together from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life to bring God glory. Here's two things I want you to think about this week. What aspects of my thinking needs to be renewed so that I have ready access to see God's handiwork? What parts of my mind, my thinking, sorry I didn't change that maybe, needs to be renewed so that I have ready access to see God's handiwork? In other words, how are you renewing your mind in Christ? Church, we've got to, this week, like almost more than most every other week that your life is led up to, we have to renew our minds in Christ Jesus. So we get into political battles, we're not thinking about the end game, we're thinking about how do I honor God? What honors God? Not which side of whatever spectrum am I on? Listen, God is not, better be careful. No, I'll say it. I love you, first off. God is not Republican. God is not Democrat. God is God. And so the way I practice my life is not down a political line. It's what honors the kingdom of God. And may we put this other stuff aside long enough to see his kingdom and move it forward. Not my agenda, but God's agenda in my life. Second question I want to ask is, where is my current trajectory taking me, and how does it affect those around me? Where is my current trajectory, like where I'm aimed at right now, today, like going off of last week? If I'm going this way, what's it going to do to everybody around me? Is it attracting and wooing people to Jesus, or is it expelling them from him? Is it reasonable? Is it bringing people in the midst of the situation saying this is reasonable? See what I'm getting at? Because the trajectory we have right now determines people's outcomes. And so where am I headed, and am I able to bring others with me to the feet of Jesus? And I want us to think about this stuff because, listen, it takes like one tick off, like one little way off of the kingdom of God for us to get distracted by what God is after right now. So what I'm going to do is we're going to prepare our hearts to be brought before the table of the Lord. And I think this is imperative. Like for Roger to lead us there today is really imperative. Listen, when Jesus had this Passover and he had the table of the Lord and he brought his disciples to it, who else was there? 11 that were on his side and one who was going to betray him. Jesus' table invited the very person that would kiss him on the cheek and betray him, that would lead him to be brought to the cross. The table of God extends out. It reminds us of the fact, you know what? The only reason I'm even sitting at this table is because of the goodness of Jesus. That's the only reason. And so as we get ready to participate in this, we're going to play some music, and you can go ahead and get your cup out and peel the things apart like while that music's going. But more importantly, as you're doing that, reflect upon those questions. Reflect upon what Jesus wants to meet you at his table. Because as you're meeting at his table with him, we are coming back. We're coming back to his kingdom objective, okay? And those cups are in front of you.